So how did you guys get together as a band? How that all happen?
Well, basically, a couple of us started jamming together, and then Ben joined.
It was you, Reece, yeah, and Ben originally, right?
And then I joined, because I've known him since birth, really. And then a year later, Patrick joined, because we needed another guitarist. And we're pretty much it, really.
Yeah. It's not the greatest story, but...
How would you guys classify yourselves? I know, like, musicians hate that, and it's hard to, like, pigeonhole yourself and stuff along those lines, but what genre do you guys think you play?
Probably, like, rock.
Awesome rock!
Yeah, like that, if you want, yeah, but, like, I'd say pop rock, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, listening to you guys, I hear a lot of, like, American Rejects, Bowling for Soup, some Ramones, you know, a bunch of that stuff. What really influences you guys?
I think we all get influenced by, like, different stuff, really, don't we? It's completely different. Like, our lead singer, Ben, he loves, like, all pop rock, like, Busted and People. And then there's other ends of it, like, Ben loves, like, Cannibal Corpse and shit like that. It just really varies, but that's what makes it, like, when we're in the garage just jamming, it's like it all sort of comes together. So it'll be like we'll be writing like a really fun, happy pop song, and then it'll have like a heavier breakdown. So it's all really different.
Speaking of which, what's your songwriting process like? How do you guys work together? Is there like a, you know, like a Gene Simmons of the group, somebody that just like takes over, or is it, you know, like a multicultural kind of thing?
Usually, someone will have like a basic idea, and then we'll kind of take it apart and work on it together in the garage.
No song's written by one person.
Yeah.
It's always like at least three people add something to it. And then Ben, the singer, always writes his own lyrics.
Yeah. It's like we always like, it normally starts off like one of us just has like a guitar riff or like a drum fill or something, and we just put it all together, and then we solid all the music out, and in the meanwhile, our singer's just there going like, la la la, you know, just the melody, stuff like that. So it's just that, really. We put the music together, and then it's like making a cake. We bake the cake, and then puts the icing over it with the lyrics.
All right, there's a lot of, you know, rock, pop, punk bands out there. What makes you different, besides drinking Mountain Dew?
I think because we've got so much different influences, and most of our songs do sound completely different. Like, I mean, most bands would say that, but I think our songs do sound completely different from each other, because it's not one person writing it, it's literally all five of us adding our own ideas.
Yeah,
which a lot of bands don't get that.
I would also like to add our ability to eat an unnecessarily large amount of Subway.
Yeah.
We thank Subway for
it. They kept us alive whilst we were recording the album.
Yeah.
Some nice product placement in there. There you go.
Subway.
How did you, Subway?
Everyone's eating fresh. Good. You made a great point about how all of your songs sound different. You guys definitely don't have, like, the Green Day syndrome. I love them. I think they're great. But, I mean, let's be fair here, you know? So. So let's break down some of the songs. So, like, Stereo Hype, you've got a lot of, like, American Rejects going on there. How was that song written? Give me the skinny.
We have written a load of, like, really downbeat, depressing songs, and we felt like this wasn't us. And then me, Reece, and the singer Ben were at Reece's house, and we just started playing the guitar, and Reece came up with the intro with that diddle diddle diddle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took it to practice, and then we just, like, worked on it, and then added the woes, and it just fit.
The woes at the start weren't actually added until, like, we were in the studio. We kind of just... There was nothing there. There was just like the drums at the start. Then we added it, and it all kind of just like made sense.
It's like your Jack and Diane story. You guys ever hear that song before by John Mellencamp, Jack and Diane?
I don't
The hand claps were not in that song at all, and then they took it to studio, and they're like, what the hell is this song all about? So they had to add the hand claps, and that whole song is hand claps. So yeah, great. All right, so what about Running Home Empty? That's a bit different from a lot of the other stuff on the album. How'd that song come about?
That's one of the oldest ones on the album.
That's based on true events. It's kind of like a breakup ballad, if you will, but like sort of a like it's a breakup, but it's kind of okay. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty much a breakup song, really.
It's just pretty much like, it's like the meaning of that song to me is basically like, you leave someone, but at the end of the day, it's better. You know, like you're safer without them. Like you're not going to get hurt without them, so it's better off.
Okay. How do you want this album to be remembered? How do you want people to come a couple of years from now after you guys have a little bit more work under your belts and you've toured a little bit more and Subway will actually pay you for eating their food? How do you want this album to be remembered? How do you want people to look back and say, yeah, that first Minutes to Recover album was...
Basically just when people are drunk going, oh, I love this song. It's so good. It's so cool.
And for them to know the words. If someone like sang our words to us, that'd be like amazing.
Yeah.
It kind of has happened.
We
just want the whole room doing it.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few times where, like, we've been on a place called Urbis in Manchester. And we've been over there, just sat down and started playing guitar and, you know, playing songs with bongos. And people have come over and started singing along with us. So they do. Some people do know the words. It's just, you know.
And some people stop us.
We lost them. A legion of fans at some point.
That would be a national remembrance day for me.
All right, I'm going to basically. I teach college journalism in New York, and I always give my students like interesting writing assignments. So this morning, I had them write about Ben's voice. I played Stereohype, and I was like, "All right, describe this guy's voice because it's unique." And they liked the song. They all thought that it was catchy and stuff. But they could not describe Ben's voice. So I'm going to ask you guys, how would you describe Ben's voice? It's very, very unique. It's different.
I'd say it's a cross between the guy, Aled Phillips from Kids in Glass Houses, and Josh Rudetsky from Umi. That's how I describe it.
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. Yeah.
He's like a fallen angel.
Do you guys remember like what you thought the first time you heard him sing?
Well, it's quite funny actually, because when we started out, his voice was like a whole octave lower.
His voice didn't break. I think if anything, it did the opposite. It went higher.
The first song I heard by these guys, because obviously I didn't start the band with these, the first song I heard by them was a song called You and I, and it was just like Ben's voice was just so low. It was whereas now he like hits ranges Bats can hear and shit like that.
Yeah, he's got like the darkness thing going on a little bit, you know?
Yeah, so he's like, when I first heard him, he was really low, but now he's really high, so I liked his low voice, but I like his high voice as well.
Yeah, I mean, there is points in the album where he does visit and journey.
With age.
Yeah, it's more of a confidence thing. Like, I think now that he knows his range and stuff, explores it more. Like, he knows he can hit these high notes, so he's not as afraid to tamper with them.
Okay, what about having a girl in the band? What's that? What's that like?
What do you mean, Ben?
I can't believe you said that.
I have the best view, like when we're playing, because he's stood in front of me.
Staring at us.
What did you mean the girl on Running Home?
Yeah.
Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's not in the band, but
she's not in the band.
I know, she's not in the band, but now she's like
someone from like, well, we know her. Yeah, she's not through the label.
Yeah, she's like so. A friend of a friend kind
I
of
gotcha.
Thing.
I
gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, and the basic idea behind it was like, we always thought like, from pretty early on when we had that song, it'd sound cool with like sort of a female and male duet or
mm-hmm.
something. So we put that in there because... I don't know. Guess we wanted to. Sounds good.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's different. You know, I did not expect to hear the female voice in there. It was a pleasant surprise. All right, so what is on the agenda for you guys the rest of the year and moving forward? What do you really want to get done? I know you have a little checklist on your Facebook page and whatnot,
yeah.
But what's not on that checklist that you guys really want to get done?
Let's
play a lot more gigs.
Yeah, but start with the like the important things. We'll get endorsed by Subway.
Yeah,
and then probably just like gig all the way through to the new year. Just sort of promote the crap out of the album.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
Subway and promoting our.
All right, is there anything else that you guys want to say?
Buy this album.
Everybody, help us, support us.
Please, we're poor students.